So we have a Capricorn new moon coming up on January the 11th, 2024. It's the first new moon of the calendar year 2024. It's at 11 on the 11th day, which is a master number on the first month. So there's a lot of new beginnings there if we look at the numerology. However, I'm go it's I there's a lot to say about this new moon, so I'm going to dive in. But before I dive in, please don't forget to subscribe to my channel, give me a thumbs up, leave me a comment. If you could possibly watch the video to the end, that would be very helpful, or leave it running for the algo, you know, whatties on YouTube, because they like it when people stick around. Or if you can't watch it all in one sitting, come back and finish it later. But anyway, let's dive in. So this is a Capricorn new moon. As I mentioned, it's the first new moon of the new calendar year 2024, which is going to be a year of great change with Pluto moving into Aquarius and various other things that I talked about in my 2024 forecast, which is available for download on my website. But it's not the only reason that this is a powerful new moon. It's the last Capricorn new moon while Pluto is in the sign of Capricorn. And Pluto is on the new moon at 29 degrees, 41 minutes of Capricorn, and will move into Aquarius just 8 days after this new moon, with one slight 2 month dip back into Capricorn later in the year before finally moving into Capricorn for about 20 years. So it's this is doubling down on some big themes that we've had happening since Pluto entered Capricorn in 2008. And so I'll share the chart in a minute, but let's just talk a little bit about Capricorn energy, because a new moon is when the sun and moon are together. And so they're both in the same sign. And this is Capricorn, so this is very Capricornian. Now, we're probably all kind of getting to know the sign of Capricorn quite a lot over the last few years, but Capricorn is hardworking, ambitious, determined. It's an earth sign, of course. It's very practical and very much about achievement. It's also about time, responsibility. Usually, Capricorn energy is a bit more traditional and rather serious, though actually I find Capricorn actually has a very dry sense of humor, and that kind of brings in that yin energy of Capricorn, which, because Capricorn being an earth sign, is actually a yin or feminine sign, and it's the sign associated with elderhood, with cronedom, with all those kind of things. But Capricorn collectively is also about the structures that we live under. It's ruled by Saturn, which is the planet of structure and limits and authority. And since 2008, Pluto has been excavating a lot that's wrong about the structures of our world, or the things that need to be transformed and change. And because of that reason, really, Capricorn has become associated with what we know as the patriarchy, or the hierarchical structures of our life, of control and domination, of kind of the shadow side of Capricorn. And since 2008, with Pluto going through Capricorn, and we had Uranus Pluto squares from Uranus in Aries, we had multiple of those. We've had a Pluto Eris square going on back and forth 5 times. We also had the massive conjunction of Saturn and Pluto with Ceres, the Sun, and Mercury all at 22 degrees Capricorn in January 2020. And we kind of know what happened then. And, you know, we've had A lot going on about revealing corruption in the structures, or the shadow, or the murk, or the excrement going on in the structures that we are governed by. And that is really kind of coming to a peak with this new moon, and being the last new moon in the sign of Capricorn, with Pluto at that anaretic last degree, saying, what else have we got to clear out before we can step into the healthier energy of Capricorn, which is about rebuilding the structures that we live under. No more to say about that. You've probably all got the idea over years. So the other thing I want to talk about before we dive into the actual astrology is the numerology, as I always do. As I mentioned, it's in the first month, that's on the 11th day. So that's 11, which is a master number as well, and a gateway number to change. But it's the first month, so there's another one. One is the number of new beginnings, the number of pioneering, and so on and so forth. But the actual new moon itself is at the number 20. Which many numerologists believe to be the number of the divine feminine, with one being the divine masculine. The two is a lovely curvy kind of number. But from my favorite numerology site, numerology, the numbers and their meanings, .blogspot.com, the link's always in the description. 20 is said to be really a very number that can bring spiritual upliftment and guidance, living humanitarian ideals. And the key word, according to that numerologist whose work I love, is about universal service. And she says that 20 stands for knowledge of both good and evil, and making conscious choices to attain balance in all situations. She says that this is a number that bears the cross faithfully with the future crown in mind. Okay. And so it's about wise use of time. And so on and so forth. It does, of course, like everything else, have a negative kind of vibe to it at times, and that negative vibration can have this desperate need for security and companionship, and can push us into ill-advised relationships with different kind of structures that are perhaps not healthy or good for us. So, that's particularly with the 22, which this is, because having the zero with the two really exacerbates the number of the two. But the two is a sensitive and passionate number. The two itself is about really about intuitive, balanced judgment through intuitive awareness, the ability to feel and use emotions. It's also kind of the diplomat, the friend, the artist, the enduring peacemaker. And two really relates to pursuing your life purpose and soul mission. And that's at a personal level for somebody that's a two. But there's a lot in this chart that is saying that this new moon is really kind of going to push us forward into the next calendar year of moving towards whatever we've discovered our real purpose and soul mission in life is, both individually and collectively. So that brings me to the astrology. Let me share a little bit first, and then we'll talk about it. It's quite astounding, to be quite honest. So, yay. So here we have the new moon at 20 degrees 44 minutes of Capricorn, which is actually the Venus ruled decan, the middle 10 degrees of the sign, which gives it that more Venusian creative quality. And also kind of relates to that too, the divine feminine energy. I also like that it's 44 minutes, two fours. Four is about building new kind of stability and so on and so forth. Now, really, this new moon is conjunct Pluto. Yes, it's quite far apart. It's just less than shade, less than 9 degrees. But I think it's conjunct because Pluto is such a big energy, and because it's so powerful as it's mopping up at those at that last degree of Capricorn, of really digging in, saying, what else do we need to transform? How else do we need to step into our own power? For Pluto takes away what you thought was your power and leaves you with what is truly your power. Now, Pluto, this new moon is almost exactly square the lunar nodes. So we're going to be looking at the lunar nodes as well. Anything square the nodes is kind of a bendings, a turning towards something. But it's also called the moon wobble when the sun squares the nodes, and this is the moon squaring the nodes too. It's kind of the halfway point between the eclipses. We had the eclipses at the end of 2023 in October, and then we'll have two eclipses coming up in, I think it's April next year. But anyway, whenever the sun squares the nodes, it's halfway point really. And this is called the moon wobble. And there's an astrologer who I follow. Her name is Naomi, and I cannot remember her name now. I had it on my tongue. I should have written it down. Naomi Bennett, Naomi C. Bennett, she calls it the moon wobble, and she talks about this a lot. If you want to go and follow her too, and she's tracked that a lot of kind of big events happen around moon wobble time, things like plane crashes and things and other things. Go and look it up yourself. I don't want to predict exactly what's going to happen because I don't think we can. But that makes this new moon, this almost exact square to the nodes, is another thing that this new moon is kind of going to be really impactful in so many ways. Also, the North Node in Aries, we'll talk more about that, is conjunct Eris, and Pluto and Eris have been in this ongoing square. There was five exact squares really throughout the first 2 years of COVID pandemic, and Eris is the shit stirrer. So Pluto and Eris together have really kind of been stirring things up and bringing the big change, or telling us, you need to change things. So I'll talk more to that. But oh God, so many things to talk about. Well, excuse me for leaving that fixed star in. I was looking at my own chart. Other things to mention though are there's so much around the 20 degrees. If we go around the chart from the Aries North Node that I'll be talking about, Uranus is at 19 degrees of Taurus and will be stationing direct. And I've forgotten that date too, so bear with me 1 second. Sorry about this. I'm still kind of on holiday, but I really wanted to get this out to you. And you'll find out why when I talk about what's coming. Yet Uranus will station direct on January the 27th. So it's not stationed at this point, but it's, closing up. And then if we move around to Vesta's close, I'm not going to talk too much about that. I do want to mention that the Venus star point cycle that we're under, that began on August the 13th, which was when the Sun and Venus met when Venus was retrograde, was at 20 Leo. So that's another 20-degree mark that's being activated. Juno is at 21 degrees Virgo. South Node, of course, at 20 degrees because it always opposes the North Node. Juno, I'm sorry, Pallas Athena at 21 Scorpio. And these two, Juno and Pallas Athena, are in sextile to each other. and making a finger of fate of God, pointing at the Aries North Node. I would also mention probably that Uranus and Neptune, they've kind of been in this ongoing sextile for a long time. Really, they're still in orb, which is making a finger of fate or God pointing at the South Node. So this is all wrapping up to be a real point of fate, point of destiny, if you like, for this Capricorn new moon. And then over here, moving further around, Ceres is also close to the 20 degree mark, 19 degrees Sagittarius. The 20 degree new moon is also just 2 degrees away from that big conjunction that happened at the start of 2020 that I talked about. So, if you have anything of any sign close to 20 degrees, which most of us will have, is going to be impacted by this. And this is huge collectively. One other thing I will talk about is that Mercury is conjunct the galactic center right on this new moon. So I'm going to just stop and then just talk a little bit. So I am recording this on December the 27th. We yesterday had a Cancer full moon, the last full moon of 2023. And we are in, the 12 days of Christmas, also known as the Omen Days of Yule and by various other names. These are usually a time to kind of think about your bigger intentions, not new moon resolutions, a new year resolutions. I'm not really talking about that, but of really kind of tuning into what you want to create and desire to create and what your wishes are for the coming year ahead. And then that ends those 12 days or the 12 omen days actually kind of finish on about January the 5th, 6th. And then but then we'll be in the dark of the moon. So we're in the northern hemisphere. I'm sorry, people. We're in the point of light just returning. But in the southern hemisphere, you are at the turn of the seasons too, with your light returning. So we're in the turn of the seasons. Light is either growing or fading, according to where you are. And then we've also just had this full moon, which in the northern hemisphere is kind of taking us waning into the dark moon, ready for that new moon that's coming up that we're looking at now on January the 11th. So I'm going to suggest that I'm not saying don't do anything, don't launch anything, but the big push to really begin whatever you are wanting to achieve, wanting to build, wanting to create is going to start on this new moon because it's so, so powerful. Okay. So I mentioned that, so we've talked about the Capricorn, I've talked about the Pluto a little, effect a little, I've talked about the square to the nodes, but let's talk about these finger of fates, finger of God, finger of destiny, if you want to call them. And let's talk about the tightest one, the main one that's really got a very tight aspect. So we have Juno. Juno is the sacred contracts or marriage asteroid. I think she's about our collective marriage with each other and within ourselves. And in Virgo, this is very much about this kind of witch essence, which means woman in total control of herself or woman in total communion with herself. But of course, that's happening within each of us. And in Virgo, this is about divine service. It brings me back to that number two, this being this vehicle of divine service, being whole unto oneself. So serving oneself first, putting that oxygen mask on, and then serving from a much more humble, healthily humble place than perhaps we have been taught for aeons, really. Virgo as well, where Juno is really to me the number, the sign of the priestess, or the Marys. It's Mary Magdalene, it's Mary, Mother Mary, it's also Isis and all those kind of energies that really were kind of bringing that sense of yin practical service into the world. And you know, that has manifested in some male figures throughout myth as well. And then at the sextile aspect to Juno, we have Pallas Athena, who is the wise owl. She's the problem solver. She is creative intelligence. She has piercing eyesight into everything she kind of looks at. She's got this ability to kind of pull the puzzle pieces together. She's also the wise justice warrior. And now Pallas Athena is in the sign of Scorpio, which she's been looking into the dark, into the shadows, and looking at power games and where people are either exerting power over you or where you're exerting power over others, and so on and so forth. She's not afraid to wield her sword, but you could think of her kind of cutting into those shadows and perhaps cutting cords with anybody that's wielding power over you or anybody you've given your power away to over time. And these two, Juno and Pallas Athena, are pointing right at the North Node in Aries, with Eris there shaking tables and shaking things up. And the North Node in Aries, whilst a North Node can be a little bit kind of too much, all devouring, we're all being collectively pulled towards that North Node right now. This is where we really want to move towards. So much sometimes is the desire to get there that we sometimes overdo it. But on saying that, the themes that we are moving towards are independence, leadership, self-expression, inner confidence, personal growth, and self-trust. However, and that's all good. Yeah, we can't do the North Node without the South Node. And I did mention this other long-term, well, it's not long-term, but the Uranus to Neptune sextile between some of the bigger, longer-term energies that are speaking to each other. They're kind of saying we must remember that we have to bring our radically changed rootedness and values and our connection with whatever source and spirituality is. And that's pointing at the South Node in Libra, which is about do not forget that we are all in relationship with each other. We just have to, or don't have to, but we are just called to stop kind of playing nice just for the sake of playing nice, being codependent, and bringing more balance into our relationships. So it's about that independent, I am autonomous kind of energy within our relationships. It's all about that balance, you know, give and take, but without giving you away. If that makes sense. So again, so powerful with all of this. I do want to mention, because I did talk about some other energies around 20 degrees, we've got one left, and that's Ceres that I'm writing a book about. Ceres is at 19 degrees Sagittarius. This is about visioning a new way of feeding your needs and really kind of developing a sense of freedom from attachment to expecting anybody else to fill your needs of nurturing. And it's also going to ripple out to be a new way of nurturing other people's needs, maybe giving them the freedom to be themselves and encouraging them to fill their own attachment and nurturing needs too. Now then, we also have Mercury conjunct the galactic center for the third time. Mercury is now direct. Mercury stations direct on January the 1st. And incidentally, that's when I closed the doors to my private membership community. January the 1st, we're going to hunker and huddle down in the nest and do the work until I open the doors again, close to when Venus and the Sun meet in June, but in early June. So if you are interested, check out the nest details in the description. It's all in there. I'm not going to go on about it because Mercury conjunct the galactic center. This Mercury's been over the galactic center at 27 degrees three times. This is the third time. On the new moon, he's just past the galactic center. The galactic center, the literally the center of our galaxy, the Milky Way, and is a black hole that emits new information. It kind of defrags our hard drives and kind of cleans out the information and the files that we don't need anymore and brings in new information. The galactic center has been literally photographed to show that it's actually kind of emitting these kind of strands and waves of almost radiation-like energy. Mercury passing over the galactic center for the first time, for the third time, is bringing in more new information and information that we need to, that we've been going over and over again to change our perspectives and to maybe speak up in a different way, speak new truth, and so on and so forth. So that's pretty big too. The only other thing astrologically I want to really mention is that Jupiter has station direct by this point. Uranus is pretty much is the only major planet to still be retrograde. And as I said, Uranus will station direct at the end of January. Mars will be in Capricorn by the time of this new moon, in the sign of this new moon. I'm going to have to do a whole whole video for that, but Mars is exalted in Capricorn, so there's quite a lot to say about that. But this is with Mars being exalted in Capricorn and Mars being our drive, our will, our energy. This is increasing this drive to really build something new. And of course, Mars is the ruler of the Aries North Node that we are really being pushed towards. That new autonomous place of self-trust, self-knowledge as well, I'm going to say, and really this place of real inner confidence with Aries being the sign of I am. All right. So let's look at the numbers. You know, I'm really trying not to take too long over these things so that you are able to get through the whole thing, but again, before I look at the not the numbers, the symbols for the Capricorn new moon, I'm going to say that please again subscribe to my channel, give me a thumbs up, leave me a comment, and also check out my nest and all my Substack blog, which is free unless you choose to subscribe. So right, the symbols. Let's look at the Sabian symbol for Capricorn 21, because we always go up. The Sabian symbol is a relay race, and this really is about teamwork. And really, kind of, this brings me back to these changed perspectives about Capricorn that we've been coming to over time before we move into Aquarius with Pluto in Aquarius. And so many other things in Aquarius. But you know, Aquarius is very much about team and about the people. And so Pluto going through Capricorn has been unearthing where we think we control, we dominate, we can rape, we can pillage, we can the earth, everything. And now we're coming to this relay race, which means teamwork, group cooperation. All right. It's all about everybody playing their part as an individual together. And so it can come through a little bit of healthy competition. I think what's happened here is we've had this very unhealthy competition where we just think we, you know, can do whatever we want and control everybody. So, but there's, James Burgess, in his interpretation of the Sabian symbol, says it's an important aspect of social interaction is found when groups compete. At some schools, there is a house system. I had a school like that at one point, where children can learn to identify the two principles of cooperation and competition. So you see, we're bringing in those nodes again as well. Aries can be very competitive, but Libra is very cooperative. And the fact that this new moon is square those nodes is saying it's time to shake things up and bring in both the cooperation and the competition. All right. So, we've got to kind of bring in that balance. Okay. And James Burgess also says, we each have our time on earth, and for a while we struggle to do our best to take what we can from the past and then present a richer, improved version to the future. Well, I'm going to say there's that in on steroids in this new moon. This is kind of like this real last push before we launch into a very different paradigm that we're moving into. And with it being square, the nodes is so powerful, and those fingers of fate and fingers of God. So, make your goals and intentions for what you want to build and create this year big and audacious, big hairy goals, as somebody calls them that I'm working with a little bit at the moment. This is time to think, what have you taken from the last few years, really since 2008, and really what's your part in building it? What do you want to achieve? How do you want to step into the future with more elder kind of wisdom and move forward? So let's look at the Chandra symbols and the Omega symbols for 21 Capricorn as well. I've started looking at the Omega symbols as well by James John Sandbach because I just find them very resonant for me. So I'm going to read you all of his symbol for this degree because I think it's such an important new moon. So Capricorn 21, as a woman moves down a passageway, many hands reach out to touch her. That's the Omega symbol. He says, if you keep moving forward, guiding and helping forces will reach out to assist you. There may as well be other forces which will attempt to retard and stop you, but this too is good, for it gives you the chance to confront your shadow self and hence to understanding yourself in a much more complete way. This degree is highly sensitive to anything which might try to stop it or encourage it, and is utterly intent on reaching its destiny. Okay, so I'll just let you soak up those words for a minute. So the Chandra symbol for this degree is a stately old house in a ruined condition. The house may be refurbished and either updated or restored in accordance with the historical period in which it was built, or it may be torn down or simply left alone. It's interesting that of these four possibilities, there is a tendency for many people to think of them as moral imperatives, that something should be done in a certain way. The fact is, the house can be appreciated for what it is, or it can be changed. So take that into your own life, right? You can keep what's good and appreciate it for what it is, or you can change what needs changing. You can either refurbish your own house, or update it, or restore it, or tear it down, or all of those above. There is no should. Capricorn's all about shoulds, and it's about letting go of that one. He goes on to say the past is the same way. We can appreciate it and accept it for what it is, or we can actually change it by freeing ourselves from its influence. Okay, that doesn't mean we can actually change what happened, but we free ourselves from its influence. Whatever we choose to do, we will find that as we move through the passageway of time, as the woman in the Omega symbol is doing, hands will reach out to touch us, to encourage us in our forward movement, or to try to stop us and hold us back. And the interesting thing is that often the hands trying to help us are the ones that are actually holding us back, and the ones seemingly trying to hold us back are found eventually to be the ones that help us forward. We are always free to respond to this however we want, and we are always free also to change our responses over time. At its highest, this degree is almost completely non-judgmental and willing in every instance to try to choose the way that leads to the highest good of all. I think that seems a good place to leave it. I'm actually going to copy all of that and paste it in the description of on YouTube and on Spotify if you want to read it, or if you just want to look it up for yourself so you can soak those words up at this such a powerful new moon. Oh, first of the year, last with Pluto in Capricorn. It's like square the nodes, all the things. It's amazingly powerful. So it's john-sandbach, sandbach dot blogspot.com, or if you just Google 21 Capricorn Chandra symbol Sandbach, you will find it. And so I'll leave it from there. Just know that this could actually kind of rock our souls a little bit because it's square the nodes. It will feel like one heck of a big turning point. And let's just hope, that doesn't cause too much destruction along the way. So much love to you. I will see you next time. Probably the Mars in Capricorn video. Love you.